Hey there, Chan boys and Chan girls. This is Jordan, one of your three co-hosts, coming at you with the pre-episode scoop. This week, Matt, Sonny, and I watched the movie Bleeding Steel, which we, spoiler alert, did not enjoy. Please spend your time listening to us instead of watching this movie. Additionally, follow us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and your favorite podcast app. And we love you and enjoy the episode.
Hey, pretty babies, you're listening to Chansplaining, the Jackie Chan podcast. You're listening right now to Steely Dan's, you were listening to Steely Dan's Dirty Work, and we're doing Steely Dan because we're talking Bleeding Steel, a dirty, shiftless movie. A shiftless movie for dirty, dirty boys. I'm a third of your hosts, Matt. I'm not doing the big things this week.
Okay.
With Jordan!
Hey!
And Sonny.
That's me.
That's also me.
And that's Sonny. And like I said, we're talking Bleeding Steel, Jackie Chan's probably most recent U.S. release. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to say about this movie.
Was it released in the U.S.?
No. I don't think it was.
Well, it is now. It hit U.S. soil. And
Amazon.
It should have...
Baby.
When I see movies like Bleeding Steel, I start to understand why some people are afraid of foreign ideas infiltrating our soil. Because if this is the shit that we're gonna get.
Wow, that's a statement to make on this podcast.
I'm just saying.
It feels like a super American movie, though.
It feels like it's trying to be some... I think this movie has a lot of inspiration from bad 2000s movies,
it feels like three different movies from three different eras.
I got three words for you: the Medallion. That's what this reminds me of.
I love that
movie. There were so many parts of this movie that were like the same as other Jackie Chan movies. Like, it's constant. That this director was just like, I'm going to put Jackie Chan in a movie and let's make it a 2018 version of 10 other Jackie Chan movies.
Yeah.
What's this director's deal? His name is Liu Zhang. Liu Zhang. Thank you, Sonny. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Uh-oh. That's not a good sign.
Also, the opening credits to this movie were just like pages of producer names.
It's crazy.
There's like 25 producers to this movie.
This is okay. When I look up Liu Zhang, I get miscellaneous crew. That's it. There's nothing else.
Maybe that's the, what's that name where, like, if you have a movie that's bad, you get it, you get your name this instead.
Ang Lee did.
Didn't
Ang Lee do that for American History X?
Oh, I didn't know that.
He hated the cut so much that they took his name off of it.
Yeah.
Wait,
you guys don't know this?
Ang Lee directed American History X?
I thought that was it. I could be completely wrong about this.
No way. No, there's no way.
I don't know. I'm hopped up on cold brew. That's not going to be our first shirt.
No, Tony Kaye directed American History.
Oh boy, I'm wrong. Is Tony Kaye Ang Lee? No.
I don't think so.
No.
Wait, how do I search this up? It's like, how do you
What do you? I don't even know what concept you're talking about. Are you thinking of like pseudonyms?
Yeah. So there's like a famous name that if you don't like the, if you don't want to be credited as part of a movie or something, you like put in
Alan Smithy.
Yeah, that's it. Alan Smithy.
Let me also say that I thought Tony K was an Asian man. I was incorrect, and that's why I confused him with Ang Lee. I just outed myself as a racist, and I didn't need to.
Tony K is insane looking.
Yeah, he looks like Alan Moore.
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
With Harry Potter glasses. K-A-Y-E.
K-A-Y-E.
Yeah.
I think I mixed him up with Tony Jaa. Like Tony J.
Yeah.
But, oh well. But no, Jordan's talking about the Alan Smithy rule. And also the dude did not Alan Smithy. I found a more extensive IMDb profile.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me that this was the Hong Kong cinema equivalent of the Alan Smithy.
No, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely not what anyone would say. We didn't even know what it was. This guy's directed two movies, Chrysanthemum to the Beast in 2012 and Bleeding Steel.
I don't know what that means. That is the most nonsensical title I've ever heard. What does
this
mean?
This guy has no credits. I don't understand how he made this movie. That's why it's so bad. They gave this movie to a dude who had no experience.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh my god. Why? Why, Jackie? This like makes me really dislike Jackie Chan.
I don't. Yeah. But like, how much did he have control over this?
Jackie? I don't know. I think he's taken his foot off the gas of late, and he lets other people kind of direct because he doesn't have the energy to do everything.
Yeah, I think he just. Do you think it's for money? I don't think he needs the money.
He doesn't need the money. I think he just is maybe. I think he just keeps trying to like become the biggest star in the world again. And so he keeps doing these big swings.
Yeah, I think he's always... That's why he lies in his book so much. He just wants everybody to like him and love him. And
what
like,
if he's just a massive sociopath?
He probably is. He's been like the most famous guy in like Asia for 40 years.
Yeah.
You don't just fucking like have no repercussions from being that famous.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't know.
This movie... fucking sucks. Like it's impossible
so,
to.
Yeah.
It's probably. I think I say this half the time we watch these movies. I think this is the most confusing movie we've ever watched. It doesn't really make sense in so many ways. I was like 30 minutes into this movie, just like I don't know what is going on in this movie.
I think I followed it, but unwillingly.
Jordan, I'll take you off the hook and I'll try and do the synopsis for this week?
Please, because I don't think I could even venture a guess at it.
Okay. Okay. Oh my god, it's so difficult. Okay. After... Oh my god. In 2013... It's 2013 is when this starts, right? It's 7 years in the past. Or 2007 when it starts?
Isn't it 15 years in the past?
Okay, 15 years in the past. Let's say it's 2000. In 2005, an elite police officer is ambushed by an even more elite squadron of evil bad guys. While his daughter is dying in the hospital. Miraculously, he and his daughter survive, with his daughter being infused with some sort of heart transplant that keeps her alive but gives her the memories of the doctor who put it in her. Ugh, gross way to end that sentence. In 2020, this police officer guards his daughter from ne'er-do-wells in Australia, but as we know, bad guys will always come back and they will fight.
You also forgot she lost her memory. As a result of this...
Study it so hard! This is the hardest one! Okay. I got like 75% of it.
So the problem with this is that synopsis gives too much away. You can't talk about this movie without giving away plot details that they like revealed as like these like hidden messages. They could have not made all these as like surprise. This yeah. person lost their memory. Surprise.
Okay, here's the logline on IMDb. A special forces agent is assigned to protect a scientist and his creation from a sinister gang. That's the first fucking scene of the movie.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
I think they listened to how I do these things and they took the advice.
That's the first goddamn 10 minutes of the movie. That's bullshit. The Wikipedia for this is extremely long and extremely out of order.
Oh, really?
Also. Yeah, they spend a lot of time, they don't go sequentially, they say what actually happens in this movie. Oh, my God. How do you describe, can we come up with, like, the elevator pitch for what this movie is? Blank meets blank.
It's RoboCop meets Star Wars. No, that sounds way cooler than...
That sounds great, that sounds Sonny. Awesome. Can we make that?
Okay. Taken meets Aeon Flux.
Okay, I liked Aeon
Flux
that's,
part. Dude, that's...
I thought I made that connection, too.
Jordan, that's great.
Yeah.
You should just have you do this instead of the...
Yeah.
Instead of the actual ones. I'm going to say it's... Shit. I'm going to say it's The Matrix Revolutions meets A Tasty Cold Brew. Just too much of that nonsense. This is very, very, very... It reminds me... It feels like it could be made at the same time that New Police Story was made.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have, like... This is the time period where the people think this shit is cool.
Yeah.
But it was last year.
I think this movie wanted to... There are so many of those, like, sci-fi, like, movie... I feel like this is stealing from a trend that happened in America 5 years ago.
Yeah, which 2013? Makes sense, because it seems like it was largely produced on, like, the Pacific side of the world.
Yes, I would agree. It was on the left side of the... I don't know how you describe it.
I just feel like it's just very much like it's behind the times on like the trend. It's trying to get on a bandwagon that's already gone.
I don't see.
That's ironic because it's tomorrow already over there.
But the thing is, I don't even know what thing it's trying to copy.
It's
like true. It doesn't go full concept sci-fi like Pacific Rim or something like that, but it's also super strange.
I was describing it to a coworker today because he was watching me as I watched it.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie is like a super violent children's movie. It has the feel of a children's movie where they just throw all this bright shit at the wall and you have weird scenes of like people being chased by a gang of hooligans.
Yeah, down like graffiti strewn alleyways.
Almost gets raped by like a whole group of people.
Heavily implied.
I didn't know if it was heavily implied. That's where my mind went, because that's unfortunately how our world is.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty obvious what they're... He motions to his
junk. To his crotch.
And they were catcalling her before. Their intentions were specifically of a sexual nature.
I believe in the goodness of people, Jordan, and unless it's implicitly said, don't know. No, that was definitely what was going to happen in that really fucked up, weirdly orange scene.
Yeah.
I remember camera was very orange and sepia
toned. This movie, it feels like it was three different movies made by three different people.
All of them suck.
All of them are bad.
It's as if we each tried to make a movie.
Yeah. There's
Jordan, you would definitely have the hyper sci-fi part of this movie. I think
like
you would be the high
part.
Concept sci-fi.
Okay.
Yeah.
The end sci-fi
part. I'll take
part. It. Because there's a difference between the end sci-fi shit and then the beginning sci-fi shit, I think.
Yeah, I would be trying to write the the ineffective father-daughter stuff. Because I'm all about the feels. Right, I'm all about writing feelings poorly.
Yeah.
And Sonny, I think you would probably do write all the parts that are in Chinese.
But they wouldn't make any sense because I don't know Chinese.
They don't make sense in this movie.
Yeah.
That would be doing this movie a service.
Yeah. If Sonny's muddled on Sonny's muddled non-existent Mandarin is in this movie.
It's just like it's just clearly filtered through Google Translate the entire script.
Yeah. This movie's kind of like an anime, it feels like.
Yeah, a little bit. Like at least the beginning part where it was like action shit in the rain. Like stylized.
Wait.
Was it Jordan?
This movie is stealing from Deadpool.
Interesting.
I haven't seen the Merc with the Mouths film.
You've
so
never
I can't
seen
speak on
either
it.
Of the Deadpools?
No. It's easy to not.
You don't.
I know
along?
That he's the Merc with the Mouth. I just don't have an interest in seeing Ryan Reynolds in anything.
In anything? That's quite the statement.
Maybe my wet dreams, but that's it.
Wow. This movie has
fucking
a lot
Susan
of...
Sarandon.
What?
Maybe a porn with Blake Lively.
You guys don't have Sonny. You guys don't have dreams about random celebrities fucking, and then you wake up shooting ropes. Yeah, they fuck each other, and you're watching.
That's a strangely specific dream to have.
Yeah.
I've had, Ryan Reynolds is oftentimes the man in the horse mask in my weird celeb sex dreams.
I don't believe it, but I'll take your word for it.
Wake up, I push the covers off, I shoot rope so hard, blows the covers off. I get it, it gets a draft in the room.
But, Jordan, convince me.
Yeah, convince me it's the Merc with the Mouth.
Okay, so they have all of the, like, doctors performing science experiments on people. People regrow body parts, and they regenerate really, really quickly.
So this is the Merc without a mouth.
This is the Merc without a mouth. There's no mouth, but there's certainly a Merc. What is a Merc? A
mercenary.
Oh. I feel dumb.
What is a merc?
Well, then there's no merc in the... Unless his friend is the merc with the mouth.
You might... I would say that his... That teenage boy is a mercenary. He's a... Not muscle for hire, but he's definitely like some sort of for hire bad boy.
And he's got a mouth. He's the Merc with the mouth.
He's the Merc. Well, he's like... Well, his deal is that he's a child of arms dealers, right?
Yeah. A real shitty guy. Like a real shithead.
Like a real shitty guy that the movie tries to convince you is this cute, manic pixie dream boy.
I was very confused about that, and I'm very sad that they didn't make... You know when he was impersonating that guy, and they were just like... They looked at his name, and it was like Muhammad Salami?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Salami.
Yeah, he's just like, "Oh, salami." Like, "Oh, I'm the salami." Somebody should have made a joke about it, just like, "Can you quit it with the bologna?"
All right.
That would have been funny, but I don't think it's the language barrier probably doesn't enable that joke.
Totally inconsistent.
But weren't there a lot of people in this movie who are Australian who like did the translate?
I don't even know if they call it, but they say bologna
in
Australia.
Yeah, I don't even know if they have bologna in Australia. They just way weirder meats.
They have Vegemite.
They just say
meats.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
That's their bologna.
They say cut the shrimp on the Barbie. They're also the same as malarkey.
Yeah. This poster makes it feel like a lot more sci-fi than it actually is.
Let me take a look at this boy, Sonny.
This trailer... I 100% watched this trailer and I thought it was going to be like a futuristic movie. This movie is like not futuristic at all, except for like very few set pieces.
Yeah. And the weird Millennium Falcon ripoff.
It's a weird choice to set a movie in the very near future.
Yeah.
And have it be like so drastically different in some ways, because this is 2020, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have the Avengers spaceship that they destroy, and I think they might have had just like
it looks like a symmetrical version of the Millennium Falcon, like exactly.
Yeah, it's very similar. It's like a Star Destroyer also.
Yeah,
looks a little bit like, oh, this fucking movie.
But like, I don't know, this movie cost what, $65 million?
Whoa, wait, I don't know what it made. I honestly haven't looked it up.
Oh, okay.
I want to play this game.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us what is it in USD? Aussie bucks? Kangaroos? Is it in Joey's?
No, I think it's USD.
It cost how much?
65.
It made 19.
I'm going to guess it made 10.
This is global.
Global?
Global?
It made...
Oh.
Or like, yeah.
27.
Oh.
Million.
Okay, global, I'm going to say it made 84 million.
It doesn't do the math for you. I'd say it's somewhere around 50 million global.
Damn. Oh. So it was a big loss.
Oh yeah. For sure. 47 million of it was China. The rest was various other parts of the world.
This movie, I think the fact that it never got like a real U.S. release, like, shows that this movie was, they knew it was not marketable.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think for U.S. releases, sci-fi movies have to look super polished for them to do.
For sure.
For sure.
Now, like, I agree, but I feel like you're coming off The Foreigner. The Foreigner, like, killed it. It was great. I think it brought back a lot of goodwill to Jackie Chan. I think if The Foreigner never came out and Matt asked me to do a Jackie Chan podcast, I would have said, no way, Jose. But then The Foreigner came out and I didn't see it, but I still said, okay, Jose.
Okay, Jose.
So
I'm not a fan, Jackie Chan.
but
in terms of like near futuristic movies, I feel like you could do so much more with that money. Like, even have it look vaguely like District 9, which costs half as much, I think, but looks so
probably
much better than this.
Better idea even is to make it further in the future and tech it down even and do a looper.
Yeah.
That's I think a better idea for all movies, because then you save money, but you just kind of give people fun coats.
Also,
right.
And they realize it's the future.
And then it's like built-in commentary on climate change.
Also,
oh, love it.
Why does movie have magic and also super science? Why doesn't it just choose one?
This is why I said you were writing the sci-fi thing. Because this bothers you about it?
What's the magic part?
There's literally a witch who, like...
I thought she was just a hacky...
No, what about the illusionist guy? He, like, instantly reads her mind and, like, knows what she's going through, and he's going to help her.
Jordan, there's so many bad things about this movie, and this is not an important one.
No, but my point is that this movie didn't have to be like a futuristic thing. It could have been like, this is magic, she's like magic, and instead of having this like blood thing, she has like a spell or like some sort of magic part of her.
Like they pull a fast one on you.
It could have been a cool thing instead of like a
science
super techie dumb thing that never really materializes.
I think that's a pretty interesting twist if a movie that's built on technology was like, surprise, it's actually magic.
I think,
oh, so it's the opposite of Star Wars.
Yeah pretty much.
Yeah, probably. God damn, this movie.
should we? I don't even know how we talk. Yeah. Let's just go. Let's just go in some sort of order.
There are parts of it that I thought were good. No, there are parts of it where I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool," and that's the extent of my excitement.
Best part of this movie, Jackie Chan's like female partner who does the kicks.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's good.
She's the best.
Also, Gigi's beanies.
Gigi beanie?
Her like knit hats.
Oh, they're fine. She's great clothes.
Yeah, she dresses well.
Wait.
She dresses like a fly girl.
The daughter?
Yeah. Nancy.
Nancy.
She's cool. Nancy's cool. I have a question. When Jackie Chan is on the roof. Well, first I have a statement. I was watching with Raven, and she walked over kind of midway through the movie, and they go onto the top of the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah.
And like she's just like, Jackie Chan's always on the roof.
I had the same thought. He's always falling onto awnings and shit.
Yeah. It's like the easiest way to get stunt payoffs.
Yeah.
There was a second when he was on the Opera House roof where I forgot that it wasn't the rooftop at the end of New Police Story.
No, I thought the exact same. I didn't forget, but I thought like, I was like, wow, this looks exactly like the same thing that happened in New Police Story.
That's probably where a lot of the money went, honestly.
Renting the Opera House?
Yeah.
Maybe. We mentioned in the last week's episode or the week before that unclaimed lottery winnings financed a lot of this movie.
That's right.
Oh man, how do I get my hands on some of that? Make a mid-market action movie.
Yeah.
Apparently that happens a lot. That happens here too.
For real?
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool.
Make
some goodwill towards the Australian people and they'll give you all their unclaimed lottery money. They're rolling in it.
Their dollary dues?
Dollary dues. As a Compu Global Hyper blah likes to talk about every day.
Does this movie take place? There's a lot of the time where I'm confused because it's supposed to take place in Australia, but I see lots and lots of Chinese characters. Not like Chinese people in the movie. I mean, like Chinese writing.
Right. Oh, I guess I didn't notice that. Where is that? Where are you seeing this?
There's some city scenes that I saw after we do a time jump when they're in Australia. Where I saw lots of, like, what looked to be Hong Kong.
Maybe they're in, like, the
Chinatown.
Chinatown.
Makes sense. I bet that probably makes sense. That's regardless. This movie starts with Jackie Chan finding out that his daughter is dying.
Yes. That's actually, like, so the scene where he has to decide between saving or, like, going to his daughter's bedside and then helping out the doctor. It's probably, like, one of his best emotional acting scenes, I think, in terms of, like, performance.
I think I would agree with that. He did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think he's definitely better in that than, I guess he never goes that far in The Foreigner, but the other scenes where he usually has to cry are super unconvincing to me, and then I think this one, for whatever reason, was more effective.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He seems to really love having daughters and not sons in his movies.
Hates
too.
Sons.
Yeah, he hates having. Well,
what's his real son's name? JC Chan?
Yes. I think so.
He's an actor too or some bullshit?
Yeah, I think his son takes advantage of his name and like does crap acting.
I think he mostly sings.
Hmm. Do you think we can get him on the podcast?
Not while we're talking crap about him.
He is currently on a hiatus from the entertainment industry after being arrested and jailed for providing his apartment in Beijing for acquaintances to smoke marijuana.
Wow.
That rules. Dude fucks.
Yeah, we should totally get him on the podcast.
JC seems
on.
Like he'd be down.
I bet he'll come on. We'll put him on for April 20th.
He went to William & Mary with our friend Elliot.
Yeah. Wait, do you think they know each other?
0% chance.
How old is JC Chan?
He is 8 years older than us.
Oh, okay. Probably didn't go to William.
And he also dropped out.
He looks a lot like his dad.
Yeah, he does.
At least in one picture, he does. Oh my gosh. Okay. This fucking movie. So Jackie Chan has to Sophie's Choice between his daughter being there to witness his daughter's death or to fight Andre,
right,
the robe, like the super soldier, and his futuristic lackeys,
who is attacking a doctor who gave a mechanical heart to his daughter.
No, but that's after the fact.
That's after the fact.
Okay. I think so.
So that's part of the flash forward.
Yeah, it's very confusing. There's a lot of flashbacks. They could have had all this stuff happen at the beginning of the movie, and it could have not been revealed, and it would be a lot less confusing.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't think of a way to make this movie better. Obviously, the runtime is weird.
So the doctor didn't die.
He did.
Right.
He did. He like used his own blood and put his own like blood inside.
Oh, into the heart.
Nancy. Into the heart, which then went into Nancy.
Right.
Yeah, but so, what was that stuff that he drank? It looked like he like took a cyanide pill and like.
Dude, that was gross. This movie cuts to title card with him vomiting in his own eyes, pretty much.
I think that was the stuff that made his blood enhanced.
Mmm.
Okay.
That makes sense.
And then he gave his blood to the mechanical heart to save.
Right.
Jackie Chan's daughter, because he was dying and Jackie Chan saved his life, so he like saved her in the process.
But I don't think was he dying, because he did the surgery to put it in her, right?
I think he said that she will be his like lasting achievement.
Okay,
there's that weird scene, so maybe he did it just as a way where he would put the heart into her, or put the blood into her, and then she is sort of the technological marvel that he's worked his whole life to,
okay,
to create. It's so convoluted. So, how does the arms trader go into this that we never meet?
I don't really know. Okay, so here's my question. I don't know if either of you have the answer to this. At the very beginning, when Jackie's on the phone with the doctor and his daughter's in surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor says to him, oh, she's healing very fast. Like, mm-hmm. He alludes that she already has the power to heal fast. It seems like that's what he's saying. And I thought she already had that power. And then when they revealed it later, I was like, oh, she heals really fast. That's what the doctor said. And then when they revealed that he, like, put the stuff in her, I was like, oh, I guess she's part of the experiment? Like, I was very confused. Maybe they, like, allude... They, like, said...
Well, she was...
Maybe
she was healing, but also dying from leukemia.
Yeah. Yeah, oh boy.
But,
this
like,
movie.
Is it that she... The doctor was saying just, like, common nomenclature, like, oh, she's healing. Some parts of her are healing. Like, but it didn't mean she has the magic power to heal immediately. Right?
I don't know. The sequencing is confusing. I somehow think that not long after the opening fight scene, maybe the doctor saves her life, and then we meet Jackie. Because she said that she's healing well when Jackie wakes up, right?
No, he says that she's healing well before that. When he's talking to him on the phone, when he calls the doctor. Before he even goes... There's a line about her healing fast. Like, he's like, as you know, she's healing very quickly. I thought she already had those powers.
Oh, I don't know. It's weird. I have no fucking idea.
I'm just
going
to guess that they just messed up.
They made
line.
A mistake. They made a mistake in this $65 million movie.
Oh my God, this movie.
So I think the arms dealer comes in because they hire Andre to infiltrate the experiment to get the whatever, like the serum that makes people regenerate super fast.
That makes sense.
And then he took revenge on them because it fucked him up real bad.
Yeah, that makes sense. Why is his name Andre and not something like Steelhead from Shinjuku Incident? The dude wears skull, like weird skull makeup, like Darth, like
no, he doesn't wear
Darth
makeup.
Malik.
He doesn't wear makeup.
Well, no, the actor is. Pale? The actor is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, he looks like Darth like Vader powder. After he gets unmasked at the end of Return of the Jedi.
You don't think gross. He looks like powder? You don't think this is the sequel to Powder?
Is that a person? I don't know what that is.
Wait, you guys don't know about Powder?
No.
John Travolta.
Oh, John Travolta's in Powder?
I think so.
It's a movie about this guy who kind of looks like him, or like kind of like Goldust or Moby.
And he has telekinetic abilities.
Telekinetic powers. He can like he gets like bullied in school, and he like makes the.
It is not.
Die.
It is not John Travolta. It is Sean Patrick Flannery. I don't know why I said John Travolta.
But I think this might be the sequel to Powder. Powder goes to Australia, and he gets this.
Okay. Yeah.
See, if they had the magic, boom. Merc with the powder.
Isn't... But he's not albino, the guy in
this movie. He's not. He had regular skin before.
Right. It's just the side effect of the thing, yeah.
It just makes him look scary.
Yeah, it looks
they just
scary.
Try to... And he does look pretty scary, actually. I think that's effective.
I mean, they also gave him a cape, which, like... Yeah, obviously. You're gonna
Everybody in this movie has a cape.
Yeah, a lot of capes.
If you don't got a cape, you don't got shit. That's what I'm gonna say. The fight scenes in this movie, it makes it confusing as to where we are in time and technologically because they have laser guns.
Well, they have weird poofy like laser guns. They like are shoot lasers but then explode in a puff of smoke.
In a blue puff of smoke. It's very strange. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's like the Uzis from Halo that you could dual wield. I don't know if
the
that
needlers?
Makes sense to anybody.
Oh, the needles?
Yeah, the needlers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Double needler.
Yeah. Also,
sound mix.
God, after the first fight when Jackie has him pinned in the car, he doesn't shoot him in the head.
That fucking drove me crazy. Shoot him in the fucking head, you idiot!
He shoots him twice in the body, and then gets frustrated and decides
what do
to
I do?
Blow up a gas tank.
What do I do? Oh, how cool would it have been if they had shot him in the head and it didn't kill him? See a bullet lodged in his head and he just plucks it off? It would have been so badass, but that probably would have taken some level of creativity.
It would have been like Wolverine.
The merc with the claws.
The merc with the claws.
Okay. Fuck. So, there's a big explosion. I guess no one, Jackie is presumed dead for a little while, but he's not dead. His daughter's not dead. We jump cut to the future. Can we talk about the fucking dumb sidekick guy and how we meet him when he is,
What a weird.
It's so contrived. Weird. They focus on his boobs. When he's walking into the
Jordan,
building.
Spell the scene for people that haven't seen this movie, which is all the people that are listening to this.
Okay, so you. You get introduced to this character whose name I don't know, but he's this famous Australian writer.
Riley something? John Wright.
And he...
Rick Rogers.
Rick Rogers.
Rick Rogers, of course. We get introduced to him, and he just came out with a book that everybody's talking about called Bleeding Steel. Mm-hmm. Which is the name
so
of the movie.
So stupid. That's so dumb.
And we go to his penthouse, and coming to his penthouse is this woman with pink hair whose face you can't see, but she's wearing a short skirt. She it focuses on her her cleavage a lot, and she
huge titties.
Yeah. And she goes out of her way to or she convinces them to let her upstairs, and she's hanging out with the guy, and she feeds him some kind of poison that makes him pass out, and while that's happening, we also have the bad guys, this girl who we just get introduced to, who's I guess she's in cahoots with the bad
Andre.
Sci-fi people, Andre.
Andre 3000,
and they like murder the people downstairs in the security of the building. And they come upstairs from there, and after that, what happens?
Dude, you're missing the whole point of this. A woman costume with like fake rubber boobs.
Yeah, they come upstairs, and then while they come upstairs, they're looking around for the
I come in my pants.
They're looking around for whoever's there with the guy, because they know somebody's there, and Jackie, who we don't know is Jackie, but it's pretty obvious it's Jackie, swings in a ninja costume pretty much and attacks her and the other Andre affiliates. And while they're fighting, one of them like knocks into like a pair of rubber boobs on the floor that don't look anything like the boobs that he was using.
Do you guys think that they used an actual female body double?
100%.
Yes, of course they did. They used a real smoke show. Oh, and this character, at least I remember, his name is Leeson. At least that's what he tells Jackie's daughter his name is.
Kind of like Liam Neeson.
Liam Leeson. It's his first name.
It's a more Irish Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
God. This is such a strange movie at this point, because I didn't know exactly what I was in for. But the second that it's revealed that woman is actually a man, and then they call him a transvestite.
Yeah, that seems
Did they do that? I didn't hear that at all. Okay.
They use the term transvestite. It's very anachronistic and...
So, wait, you guys, you watched the...
Amy Prime.
Yeah.
In mine, they say ladyboy.
That's worse!
Yeah, that's way worse.
That's so worse. Wait,
a lady
when
boy.
Did they say lady boy?
I think they were like, they were watching they were reviewing the security footage.
Maybe in that scene they say both. I remember them specifically saying transvestite. Wait, didn't you watch it on Amazon Prime?
We watched the same one, it means.
I think we all watched the same one.
So I guess we were, me
Maybe
and Matt
we just
were
paid
outraged.
Attention at different points.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Lady
so
boy.
That's
yeah,
even worse in really one bad. Scene they used both they really had to drive it home. That's crazy.
Can I say the one time that I in a movie that I like the term, well, it's not really lady boy, but it's I think it's really funny. It's super bad when Bill Hader is talking about people they've arrested and he goes, the other day I literally arrested a man lady named fuck. Think about that all the time. That's a great line. Oh, all right. Back to this bad movie. And not that good movie, super bad. A man lady named fuck. The plot comes back because Jackie has followed his daughter. We know it's his daughter because who else would she be?
Yeah.
I guess.
I can't think of the word for it, but it's. It's pretty obvious from the very beginning why he...
It's hack.
Yeah. Telegraphed. Telegraphed is the word.
Sure, yeah.
That is the word. I don't want to do a direct rundown. Let's just talk about Jackie's... Like, in this movie, we get the idea that he... They say that he's been following his daughter around because she has amnesia, and he wants to keep her safe from Andre. Mm-hmm. Because Andre will be after her. Andre 3000, speaker box of love below, is coming for her.
So can we talk about speaking of his daughter,
sex,
the scene with the witch, where they
I wanted to talk about my thing, Jordan.
Okay, talk about your thing, and then we'll talk about the witch.
We'll go to the witch. We got plenty of time.
Which one do you
so
want
Jackie?
To do first?
Jackie's following his daughter around. He sends her to Australia. which is why... Maybe that's why this movie got made in Australia, just because they said, we got all this money to make, let's make a Jackie Chan movie, just set it in Australia. And Jackie said, fuck yeah.
I mean, that's possible. I mean, they also probably, like, hooked him with the... They probably got the ability to do the Sydney Opera House first, and they're like, yeah, if you say yes, you can fight on top of the Sydney Opera House.
Said Garmy Adam.
Yeah.
I gotta weird? Fight on top of shit.
It's
the only
of
thing
Jackie.
I haven't fought on top of in the world.
It's the opposite of Jackie Chan's actual life.
Yeah.
Instead of his parents what? Sending him away to an orphanage in Hong Kong and moving to Australia, he sent his daughter away to an orphanage in Australia.
Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You're right, Jordan. I had that thought too. But are we led to believe that Jackie Chan has just been taking different jobs to follow his daughter at different parts of life? Because we see him one time dressed like
no,
a repairman.
I think he was explicitly assigned to do that.
No, he chose to. He said, I'm going to make sure I'm going to live in the shadows as a stranger and make sure she's okay.
I thought his partner gave him, like, witness protection so he could...
I think that's correct, Sonny, but he does take a lot of different jobs.
No, yeah.
Even if he's in witness
protection. He works as a cafeteria person. He works
I mean, that's an intentionally very funny scene when she has the flashback and she just realizes the same man has been in every part of her life.
And she knows it's her father somehow instinctually. Not a huge creep.
Yeah.
Papa! Oh, yeah. She calls him Papa, I
Papa,
think.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy the scene when she sees him in a car that's going the opposite way from her and she knows it's him? It
yeah, so
Papa.
I went to the bathroom after her flashback scene, and then when I came back, she was in a car being sped away, like, past Jackie, also in a car.
Yeah.
This 100% is a movie you don't pause when you have to pee or poop.
Yeah.
No,
this is when you let it roll.
The cars pass by each other, and they both see each other and know the other one's in the other car.
Right, but was there a scene where it showed her getting kidnapped?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
It shows her having the flashback, where it's like she's entranced by the flashback.
She's like crying, yeah.
She's crying, and then you see the woman behind her, like, walk into
I
the
see.
Room.
And then, okay.
So you, like, know right. It's like shit's about to go down.
Jordan, it's time for you to talk about this witch
that
she loves so much.
So she goes to, like, the bad part of town where there's like a... I didn't know Australia has legal prostitution, but I guess they do. So she passes by a brothel, obviously a brothel. She passes by, like, a drug dealer and all, like, the guys who, like, catcall her and stuff who are playing basketball. And then she goes
And we all know what that means,
yeah.
Jordan.
I don't know what that means.
We know what you're trying to say, Jordan.
I don't know what you're trying to say that I'm trying to say, but it's...
I think it's pretty obvious what you're trying to say when you describe those characters. So let's move on without drawing more attention to it.
Oh my god. Okay, so she goes into the witches.
You're saying that they're black people, Jordan.
That's not even... Literally only one of the people is a black person. The other people are...
One of them's Asian.
Like white.
Two of them
one
are
of
trans.
Them is Asian. Two of them are
it's
Asian.
A very 90s gang where it's a whole bunch of races and, like, different people dressed weird.
Yeah.
that no gang is like.
They're like everyone that Eddie Huang hung out with in high school.
It's that weird chubby redhead kid from True Detective Season 2, Velcoro. That kid is really funny and fresh off the boat.
Moving on, she goes to the witch's place and she's let in by a person with dwarfism.
Yes.
Do they?
Yeah.
So
I know what you, yeah, I think so. Who knows?
So she's let in by somebody and he's wearing the silly outfit And she's led into the witch's place.
Coven.
And yeah, the coven. And the witch, like, puts her into a trance. She doesn't really do much. She doesn't give her anything. She just puts her on a chair. It's like a barber's chair. And she, like, sits down. And
it's kind of like the chair from Burn After Reading. If you guys have seen Burn After Reading.
I know exactly what you mean. It's the sex chair.
It's the sex chair Reading. That George Clooney makes. Oh. That he shows Tilda Swinton. This movie, if that was the chair, it would be the best movie in the world.
Can we just start talking about Burn After Reading?
That's okay. Like all Coen Brothers movies, it gets better every time you watch it.
Yeah, that get a little bit better.
I've been seeing a lot of screenshots of the Brad Pitt character today because they're comparing the that Jacob Wohl guy to him.
Who's Jacob Wohl?
He tried to like grift Robert Mueller by hiring women to trying to pay women to say that Mueller sexually assaulted them like 30 years ago.
Oh, weird.
And Mueller turned him into the FBI. He like spotted immediately and was like,
Oh, I thought you were talking about, oh my God. I thought you were talking about Robert Durst. Until you said FBI, I'm like, Bob Durst?
Wait, I don't understand the story and I've never heard
they're of trying it. To, they're trying to make Mueller seem disreputable right. And like ruin his reputation and be like, see, this guy is taunting all these bad conservatives. Is actually like a creep and is a sexual assaulter.
Yeah, but women Mueller's... like contacted journalists, being like, "This weirdo is trying to pay us money to say Robert Mueller assaulted us."
Oh, okay.
We love Bob. Yeah. We love Big Dick Bob.
So there were screenshots going around of that scene where Brad Pitt's like, "You might want to be concerned of the security of your shit."
Oh my God, that's funny. Let's keep talking about Burn After Reading.
No, we can't talk about Burn After Reading. I love Burn After Reading, but
great. Is there a Coen Brothers podcast? Does one exist?
There's gotta be. I mean, it can't be that long.
Yeah.
Can we? Okay, if there's not, hold on. Coen Brothers podcast, because I have an idea for what it would be called. Immediately. There is not one.
Okay.
The Coen Brothers.
There is, and it has my exact title.
Really? What is it?
The Coen Brothers Brothers. Oh, damn. They got me so hard. That's great. I'm going to put on their podcast while I listen to it. God damn it. That's genius. That's such a good idea. Fine, let's go back to Bleeding Steel if we have to.
So she goes to the witch. She goes in the Burn After Reading chair. And she has this, like, intense vision. I guess we skip the part where, like, she wakes up her roommate all the time with her visions and her night terrors, thinking of Andre. She's thinking about her dinner with Andre. And
my dinner with Andre.
She has this vision and she can't get out of it, and the witch tries to wake her up, and literally the witch like rips open her shirt and they do this like boing, like they do this like
they do
this vision of like just her
awooga. Yeah.
It's like it's so out of, like, it doesn't make any sense that they would do that for her character in that moment.
No.
And the witch, like, Uma Thurman's her, like, where she, like, stabs her in the chest with, like, adrenaline.
Adrenaline.
But, like, it's crazy, that scene. Like, I don't understand why they, like, give this, like, view of her. Yeah. If she's supposed to be the daughter he's protecting.
I don't know. You're missing a pretty interesting part of this witch's lore, which is when we first come to learn of her, Nancy is having these horrible nightmares in her college dorm, I assume. And her roommate, who looks like the most roommate person in the world, that is great casting. That is 100% a girl's roommate, goes, she's like, oh, you're having your nightmares have been getting worse. It's since you saw that therapist. You just got that new therapist. She goes, yeah, she's not really a therapist though. She's kind of like a witch. And Nancy's like, yeah, she's kind of just a witch. Couldn't make less sense.
Yeah.
Why even say she's a therapist? The movie doesn't need to say that. It can just say that she's been seeing a witch because she's a fucking lunatic.
Also, what are they doing about with the dreams? Like, what is their... They're like grifters. They're like con artists who like... They like steal people's dreams?
And sell them to authors?
To sell them to adult fiction authors.
I think that's what they must be doing something, because he goes upstairs and like puts on the computer to like steal her dreams or something like that. Like, yeah. I don't understand. This movie could be magic or it could be science sci-fi. Why can't it decide which one exists?
It's such a convoluted scam too. Like, They're basically, if the team from Inception was super unambitious.
Fuck yeah. That's great, Sonny. And you'll hear other great things from Sonny on our new podcast, The Coen Brothers Brothers Redux. I'm still thinking about it.
Maybe this movie was this guy's dream, and he was just like, oh, dream. I came up with this awesome dream. Like, I'll make a movie about how dream scripts are the best.
Yeah.
Because, like, they make it... So what we find out, I think, later is that the whole Bleeding Steel book was stolen from her dreams, right?
Mm. Yes. Yep. Yes.
So these people had already stolen her dreams, and they sold it to this guy, and he made a book about it, and it was so... Her dreams were so cool that, like, it was good enough to become a best-selling book. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Why not just come up with a cool idea? You don't need to steal people's dreams.
I don't know. It's weird. It's also weird that in Nancy's college dorm room, she has, like, pictures of the scary man all over her wall. Like, she just is... Her side of the dorm is full of her dream, like, nightmare dreams, which is... really alarming to the roommate, I'm sure. I'm sure she does not like that living situation at all. My roommate, she just knocks on the RA's door, and she's like, my roommate, Nancy, she seems nice, she's quiet, but at night, she is screaming terror nightmares, and she spends all day drawing pictures of a bald man. She hangs them up on her side of the room. She's not allowed to do it on my side of the room, but she does it everywhere. They cover every part of her side of the room. Transfer me.
So what happens from there? We finally get her and the guy, and they
Leeson,
and he's following her. He saves her from the would-be rapists. She escapes, and he finds out that the witch suggested that Nancy goes to see like on the next level of witch guy, like
which is the Chris Angel mind freak.
Yeah, he's a mind freak. He's a regular. He's a steampunk mind freak.
I mean, yeah, he dresses like Johnny Depp.
He does dress like Johnny Depp. Oh God, I love the term steampunk mind freak, Jordan. It's the most unappealing thing I could think of is this character. She gets in, he unlocks some sort of bullshit from her memories, and we get a shootout. We get a fight scene in the Sydney Opera House. It's pretty fine, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's cool conceptually, but it's executed badly. Like, a problem I have with a lot of the modern Jackie Chan movies is none of the fight scenes are weighted with any, like, interesting narrative. Like, the set piece of the Opera House itself is cool, but there's no investment built up in either of the characters to really give it any stakes. Like, I don't really care who wins that fight.
Yeah.
Even though it's a really cool-looking fight. I agree.
And then they have magic stuff that's incorporated into it, and, like, also somebody on my Facebook does...
Magic?
Like, no, they do like I don't know what it's called, but it's like swing
cam girl
swing. Yeah, no, they do like swing yoga or something. Like, I don't know what it's called.
I know what you're talking about.
Like,
yeah,
you like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
you're like in a thing from the ceiling and you like wrap yourself in it,
right?
Like, Jackie's doing that thing that people on my Facebook do.
Yeah,
like,
which is cool,
kind of. I
but
don't
it's
know
not like I think like it's a creative way to do a Jackie Chan fight scene.
When Jackie does real stunts in these, they're always sort of fun.
Yeah.
He because it is difficult, and you know he does do them. It's just not the same as him jumping, like in Project A, from a third story window. It's,
right.
They're more skillful than they are skillful and crazy.
Yeah.
He's savvy. He did that thing with the pill again in this movie where he like pops the thing in his mouth. I don't know if
oh,
you guys
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He used to do it with gum. Like,
he used to do it all the time.
He did. Yeah. He did it in the other guy's mouth.
Oh, okay.
In this movie?
I thought he says vitamin B or whatever.
Yeah,
it's good for hangovers.
He pops a pipe bomb. He calls it a pipe bomb.
It's not a pipe bomb.
It doesn't look like a pipe bomb.
It's just Flintstones chewable. It's a Dino. It's a Dino flavored chewable. Oh, gosh. Okay.
What do we have? He fights the woman. She like comes. She kills the mind freak.
Stabs him through the heart.
Yeah.
Like really viciously kills this fucking cyberpunk mind freak.
Do you remember what he says? He says, "My work here is done."
Is done
and
yeah.
dies. He just like like
that actor was told that he was the star of the movie, and that's the kind of performance he's giving. They said, we're going to film your death first, and then we're going to do the rest. And they said, we don't need you for any other days. You can go. His name is Tim Horton.
Imagine if you, like, were an illusionist. You were, like, a John Edwards or what's her name? It's not Lisa Lampanelli, but it's...
John Edwards?
He's the crossing over guy, and then there's...
Oh, I thought you meant the Democratic vice presidential candidate.
No, no. And then there's the one who's the Long Island medium.
Yeah.
What if, like, you as one of those people who just, like, go to different places, like, doing, like, tricks that are, like, not real, like, you were embroiled in some dastardly plot to, like, do stuff like that. Like,
I don't know.
You just got murdered. The last thing you would say before you die wouldn't be, "My work here is done."
Right.
Sure. Damn.
We also don't like deal with the like global fallout after this. This guy was supposedly going to headline the Sydney Opera House.
Huge deal. It's like if John Legend died.
Yeah.
Was murdered. Can you imagine if John Legend was murdered by terrorists?
Do you think
that'd
fucking
be insane.
Crazy? Do you think the last thing he would say would be, "My work here is done"?
No, it'd probably be like,
"All of
Chrissy,
me,
Chrissy, don't tweet about this."
Chrissy, don't tweet about this. Or he would say, "Come and you'll have to perform at the Oscars without me." To go back to your talk about medium, Jordan.
Yes.
Like not
like
not too
larges?
Long ago, this made me. You kind of got my joke. You kind of railroaded me. I was gonna say that, Ralphie May, I heard, could talk to ghosts, and he had a TV show before he died where it was called The Extra Large Medium. But now I can't say it because you said it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
Sorry.
Fargo for a minute. And what do you think the significance of the duck in Fargo is? Jordan, I think your mic died again.
No, I don't know what a duck in Fargo is. I don't know what you're
it's
talking
the,
about.
It's the husband paints a duck. He wins, like, the duck painting because he goes, "We're doing pretty good."
I don't know what you're talking about.
Man, you can't be a Coen Brothers brother at all.
What about the Mike Yanagita? Let's talk about him.
Oh, that's so interesting. I think that it kind of shows that Frances McDormand needs to reevaluate how she sees the best in others.
Hmm.
And therefore she goes back to William H. Macy's establishment, and she doesn't take him on his word because she thought this guy always had good intentions, but really he's an enormous creep. And maybe in herself she thought about sleeping with him for a second and realized that good people can do bad things.
I think that tracks.
Okay, this has been Coen Brothers Brothers.
So, glad
we have a new segment.
after the Sydney Opera House fight, where they literally have the new police story thing on the roof, it's like the same thing that it does the unfurling of the rope. So it's like kind of does the same kind of stunts. Jackie falls off the building and survives. And in the process, knocks over a table and knocks over two scoops of ice cream. And he literally picks it up off the floor and puts it back in the ice cream cones like that.
He licks
his
fingers too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He thinks that's acceptable. That's like, oh, sorry, I knocked over your ice cream. I'm going to pick it up off the floor.
I don't think Jackie knows what type of movie he's in. Like, it's not... this movie starts with his daughter dying of leukemia. And he's like, oh, I dropped your ice cream. I'll put your ice cream back. This is fucked up. This movie doesn't make any sense. This movie's crazy. I don't know why we're trying to go scene by scene right now.
Yeah.
It's just so bad. It's just such a bad movie.
Did you like the scene where he's like Batman? You go to his house. And he goes into the basement, and it's like a Batman place, and then, like, he has him chained up, he, like, handcuffs him to, like, an exercise machine.
Yeah, to the chest press machine.
The chest press. I enjoyed that scene with the key, when he was trying to get out, and he, like, got...
I agree.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That's one of the only parts of this movie where I was like, that's fun. That's a nice
thing. But then, like, it doesn't end up paying off.
We don't see him get out. Right. He just gets out. You couldn't hold me. What the fuck are you talking about? You almost died.
Yeah,
like, you couldn't get out. You dropped the key.
You're a giant dumbass.
You're the worst. He does have my favorite line in the movie, though, where he goes, if you don't let me go, I'll pee my pants. And Jackie just keeps going. He goes, fine, I'm going to pee. And he like kind of thrusts his dick. And he's like, oh, I can't even pee.
I'm too dehydrated.
Dehydrated. Like water and food, I can't even pee. So strange. This movie starts with a little girl's death.
Yeah.
And it has a character trying to pee himself in, like, response to being kidnapped.
Yep.
What the hell is this movie? It's incoherent. It's taking crazy pills. I'm on cold brews. I can't handle it right now. I watch this at work for a little bit.
Yeah.
Ugh!
That's a choice.
I did. Well, I watched half of it at home last night, and I fell asleep. I was too tired for this bullshit. And then I'm too... I'm on my cobras now. God damn it. Okay. What are some parts we could talk about this movie that, like, mean something at all?
I honestly don't know. This movie is nonsensical and crazy. I don't understand this movie in so many places.
So the like end is basically Andre gets Nancy, gets his blood back to restore his body.
Yeah, they're doing a blood transfusion.
Yeah. And I think
on his spaceship.
On a spaceship.
On a spaceship! Yeah. This cancer survivor is taken to his spaceship!
Who's funding this person?
Australia! I'm losing my mind here! I can't lower my voice!
What? But they never explain why he has a spaceship, why he has...
Where does he dock
There's
it?
There's no other spaceships. He's the only guy with a spaceship.
Is this a major thing?
He's also the only one with the futuristic technology that, like, it's just infinite. He has all of this, like, all of
these
suits.
He has the suits?
All of these guns. Nobody else has them. Everybody
else
has
have
normal guns. Normal suits.
They got 9mm. He's got the Halo guns.
He's got the Halo suits. He's got, and the lady's got that crazy knife that, like, is a laser knife.
Yeah.
But it's
so strange.
Like,
that woman's name is the Woman in Black, I believe, also.
Ah.
That's the dumbest thing, too.
She also looks like she's white makeup.
Pause. The Wikipedia page I'm gonna have to ask you guys to read what that woman's name is.
Wait, okay.
On IMDb, it says the woman in black.
Wait, I wanna
okay.
Look.
On her LinkedIn, it says the woman in black. Okay, what do you want me to do? Go to the wiki page?
The Wikipedia page of Bleeding Steel and check out what this lady is.
Wait, don't tell me.
AKA is.
I don't know. It doesn't track down.
Wait, which
I don't
section?
See it.
Cass.
Yeah. Oh, Cass. I'm reading the thing. Okay, let's go down to Cass. Oh, this is better be worth it. Lady Fidget Spinners? What the fuck? What? What? That's not real. That's not real. Somebody fucking edited it. Somebody edited that and they...
Someone's fucked with this.
Lady Fidget Spinners. That's amazing.
That's a good name.
There's a character in this that is not listed to an actor, and the character's name is the boy Ryan.
I didn't even see that.
The boy Ryan! Is that the guy who liked her in school who was, like, impressed by her before Leeson came out?
I don't
the
know.
Boy Ryan!
There's also somebody named Popcorn Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the girl who, like, spits in her popcorn.
Oh.
Bleeding Steel screenplay. Let's see if we can find it. No, it's not here. It can't be. It's not good.
AKA Lady Fidget Spinners.
AJ, AKA Dr. Cock and Balls. Reverse Apache Master. This oh my god.
I kind of like the fight scene on the spaceship, though. It's like, it's got glimpses of doing cool stuff. It's kind of like, sometimes it feels like that Jackie Chan, John Wick movie that you're always pushing.
You mean
that I'm always trying to pitch?
Where Jackie's, like, arm gets cut off, and then later in the fight, he is getting choked out.
Everything before that. Everything before and after.
So in
this movie, it's not a bad fight scene. You're right about that.
So in this movie, Jackie Chan literally is getting choked out. He's getting rear naked choked, and he's got one arm because he lost it in the fight. And he's been fighting with just one arm, and his arm just, like, fully just, like, grows
no,
back.
No, the best part of it is that he remembers that he has his blood now.
He has his daughter's, like, blood in him.
He has a flashback when he stabs the thing into the Andre's brain, and then himself is stabbed. And then, after remembering that, his body's like, oh, I have regenerative blood, and then his arm grows back.
It's like Cell. He's like Cell from Dragon Ball Z. Just gets his arm chopped off, or like Frieza.
Yeah.
It's in. Oh my god. He actually kind of looks like Frieza. I'm going to say Andre 3000 looks like Andre Frieza 1000.
Yeah, I see it.
Do you think Frieza was his main inspiration?
I think it was Powder.
Yeah.
Powder and Frieza? Okay.
Powder.
I think it was
Frieza.
The villain from Blade 2.
Triple H? That's in Blade 3.
What? One's a Frieza, one's a Powder.
Oh, God. Okay. They blow up the spaceship. I guess it's not a spaceship. They're in, like, the lower atmosphere, I suppose. Because they're still... Why isn't the world on high alert? There's a spaceship.
Because they're over the water.
it's...
It's in over the water, so no one sees it.
What's that thing that the Simpsons always talk about, like being on neutral waters where everything is legal?
Oh,
what is it called?
In international waters.
International waters. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, no one sees video of it. Nobody checks radar about it. It's just international waters. Everything's crazy.
That's a funny idea for a movie. Like, a bunch of people go out to, like, the middle of the ocean to do something illegal, and they think that they can't be caught.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, some pirates, like, get them, and the pirate's like, I don't know, man, international waters, what can you do? And they have to survive.
You mean Captain Phillips?
His ass, Captain Phillips. I'm the Captain Phillips now. I've lost my mind. I've completely lost any will to talk about this movie anymore.
This movie is nonsense. This movie, I don't know, I was watching it trying to get some coherence, trying to have it establish what I thought this movie was going to be, and then it never got there. It, like, never did the thing that it was.
What did you think it was going to be?
I don't know. I just thought it was going to come to a point where, like...
It never became what I didn't know it would be.
I thought it was going to, like, there was going to be some, like, payoff. There was never a payoff. Even the last scene where, like, he gets the call from the guy, and he's just like, oh, you're going to give me that thing. And he's like,
yeah, that
nah.
scene doesn't make any sense.
It just, like, and then was the guy her friend at school when she was at the orphanage?
Yes, that was that payoff. She was like, oh, he was at the orphanage all along.
But
and his, like, affection for her was real, I think.
Why was he at the orphanage if he was the son of...
Because dad died.
Yeah. I think what happened was Andre killed his parents because they were arms dealers who tried to, like, I don't know.
And then he went to an orphanage?
Yeah. That's what happens when your parents are dead, Jordan.
Yeah, then you don't go to live with a relative.
I don't know. His parents were arms dealers. You think they really kept in touch with their relatives?
Probably not.
Didn't they have money, though?
They would be rich, probably.
Oh, it was a nice orphanage. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was like a
private
1%
school
orphanage. Those motherfuckers.
It was run by director Isabella. I remember that specifically because Jackie Chan says, "Call director Isabella and tell her to take her in." Call director Isabella and the boy Joshua. The boy Ryan.
Oh God.
This is the most damning movie of the Jackie Chan cat, like, for sure. Because we watched some really bad stinkers, like, All in the Family, but he did that when he needed to.
Right.
We know how he struggled when
this
he was
young.
This was a choice. This was a choice to make it, and to do multiple takes, and to get funding. He's the executive producer of this movie. He stands behind this movie. This is, like, this makes me not want to watch his Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, Russian epic that he's working on. I kind of do want to see it now, though, because I think it's going to be bonkers like this. Because,
like, on one hand, this movie has got to be his bottom, right?
It's got to be.
Maybe.
It's like the natural...
This is worse than The Medallion.
Downswing.
Yeah, this movie...
Yeah, I think it's worse than that one.
This movie's
because The Medallion is, like, bad, but it's, like... It's got a story that, I guess,
it's
follows.
A victim of its age.
And it also is sometimes funny. Like,
yes,
I still think of that scene where the Interpol guy is just walking through, he's running through the place, and just, like, keeps on pointing the gun, and it's just, like, Buddha statues everywhere.
Yeah.
That scene made me laugh, and it still makes me laugh. It's a funny scene. This movie, like, I hope I never remember any part of this movie.
And I already don't.
Yeah.
I'm only gonna remember the right before
the
she
boobies?
Gets stabbed in the boobs. That's the only thing I'm gonna remember from this movie. And why... And maybe Steampunk Mind Freak, because it's funny.
Okay. Let's rank this. I know I always give generous rankings to things. I'm going to give this... The only reason this isn't getting zero Jackie Chan doesn't want any troubles is because I like how his partner did her kicks. I thought her action was really cool. It's getting a quarter Jackie Chan doesn't want any trouble. Because that, I think, was really difficult, and I went, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A quarter of a star.
A quarter Chan.
Oh, my God.
This gets a hard zero for me. It just, like, I think what solidified it for me, I wanted to not give it a zero, because it was like, oh, I really hate it All in the Family. That's a zero. But, like, you're kind of what you were saying about this being not, like, All in the Family is bad, but it's a movie when Jackie, like, he was forced to be in, like, a kind of, like, softcore porn, essentially, because he had to make ends meet. Like, this movie is a movie that he made with all the money, all the time. He's putting his name on it. He can make any movie he wants, and he really is bringing down his goodwill that he earned.
This this movie has a 22% Rotten Tomato score. I can't believe that. Yeah. This should be in, like, the Zero Club.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is too good for the Zero Club. This is a 7. A 0 on Rotten Tomatoes usually means the movie is better than it should be.
Whoa. This got a fresh from the fucking New York Times.
That's so weird.
And was from Variety.
A.O. Scott?
It's Glenn Kenny. I don't know who that is.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Oh, it's Jackie Chan in a wig. I see. Variety might actually nail why we don't like this movie, but they gave it a fresh. Features all the zesty fights, slick effects, and goofy slapstick one expects from a Jackie Chan family movie, though the film's corny cyberpunk pastiche appeals exclusively to kids. Mm. This is a fucking super violent movie and you see boobies.
Yeah.
So this you can't show a lady's boobies in a children's movie.
No boobies
in children's movies.
This movie is a PG-13 movie then. That's what it means. Like, this is like a perfect 13, 14-year-old movie.
This is an R-rated movie.
This is a movie that we saw for Sonny's birthday when we turned 15. When he turned 15, i.e.
15.
It's Aeon Flux.
Yeah, that's right. We did see
Sonny, are you born in the summer?
No.
December.
When did I see Aeon Flux then? I saw it with a friend. Maybe it was like on a Sunday.
Did we see Aeon Flux or did we see that movie that's exactly like Aeon Flux?
No, we 100% saw Aeon Flux.
Okay.
Came out December 2nd. Oh man, Aeon Flux was directed by Karen Kusama, who I actually really like.
What did she direct?
She made Jennifer's Body, which I was into.
Oh, I love Jennifer's Body.
Is that
Meg Fox?
Yeah.
Did you say Adaptation?
No, The Invitation.
The Invitation?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's about... It's like a horror movie where this guy is... they like have people over. But it's like a slasher sort of deal.
I think I've seen that and I think I liked it.
Oh, it's got Michael Huisman from Hill House, from Haunting of Hill House. Mm. And Game of Thrones. Did you guys watch that, Haunting of Hill House?
Yeah, I really liked it.
I hated it.
Oh,
I haven't
really
watched it.
I thought it was dog shit.
I thought it was great.
I don't know. We'll talk about it off recording. Because we can only talk about Jackie Chan and Coen Brothers movies on this podcast.
Yeah.
What's your ranking, Sonny? Sorry.
I'm going to give it a 0.5. Because I think there are some, like, you see some sparks in his supporting cast.
I think you're just talking about those...
the spaceship? The robots and spaceships? Is that what you were going to say, Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was... No, I was going to say the boy...
Oh, okay.
But that's different.
Okay, what does this equal out to? 0.5 plus 0.25 plus... Is this just 0.25?
Yeah.
This is the worst movie we've seen.
Yeah.
But it has a better score than All in the Family, which is a shame, but...
Reevaluating that. What did I give All in the Family?
It has a 0.
I'm giving All in the Family a 5 so that it will raise its score so it's not the worst anymore.
No, we can't. No reevaluation. I wish I could reevaluate so many of my scores, but they are solidified in stone.
Can we do an episode where we just go back on our scores and, like, now that we actually know, because we didn't really know the full extent of what the career would be. Now I think we could look at things with better. I would probably give things that I gave 3s like a 3.75 or a 4.
In the past. I think a lot of them I'd have to, like, re-familiarize myself with what actually happened.
Probably. But... At least read the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well,
that was that movie.
Bleeding Steel.
F-. Can I give it negative stars? Negative Jackie Chan is wanting trouble?
No.
Floor it?
Jackie Chan wants so many troubles.
Okay. So now we're going to come to the best part of the show. The jack-off. If you don't know the jack-off... You haven't read a newspaper in a few years, I'm sure. It's all that their people are talking about is the jack-off scores at the back of the New York Post all the time. We discussed often how Jordan hasn't won a jack-off in some time. I went into the record books, and I saw that Jordan has not won a jack-off since episode 11, Armor of God,
and that was the only one that I've won.
That's the only one he's ever won. Wow. We were doing it before where it would be points. We're going back and forth. That was the last time you got more points in an episode than Sonny or I. I kind of wanted to do a win percentage chart for this, because you would have like a 0.6, you have like a 6% win percentage, while Sonny and I would be in the high 90s. The last time you won one was January 30th.
Wow.
So it's almost a whole year since you've won.
Okay. I'm excited for my chance to win, and am I the Detroit Lions of the of this podcast?
Well, or the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Wait, what's the team that lost two seasons in a row? They got zero first.
It was the Browns won one game last year, like 2 years ago, and no games last year.
Okay.
So they went 1-31.
Damn.
That's you right now.
That's okay. So I am them. Okay, good.
All right. So we're gonna do this. Question one, I am a famous video game character.
Jackman.
3 points for Sonny.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God, Jordan.
I was going to say Jack and Daxter. Jack.
That's not bad. That wouldn't be right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten there.
Okay. I am a semi-famous comedian.
Louis Jack.
No, but
yes.
That's a good guess. Okay, I'm gonna keep going.
Can I guess before it happens?
Yes.
Can I make a second guess on the first one?
Yes.
Chant.
Oh, you're thinking ant? Yeah. No, but another good guess.
Okay.
Okay, was part of a show that Ant was part of.
I have no idea who Ant is.
Oh, man.
Okay.
You got a guess, Jordan? Okay.
Oh, wait. Dat Chan?
2 points for Jordan. It's Dat Fan. Oh, my God! That's huge, Jordan. Okay. The third and last question. I am a pop star. Okay. Gonna keep going. I am from South America.
Shakira.
Jordan, have won the jack-off. Nice. Oh my God. He did it.
Ooh, come from behind.
He did it. That was clutch as fuck, yeah. Jordan.
Those are the harder ones too, I think.
Was the Dat Fan one the one that you didn't think anyone was going to get?
No, I called an audible, and I was going to do one about Marlon Mack, the Colts player.
I have no clue who that is.
But then I realized that I talked about him before the podcast, and then it could have given a tip.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, man.
I would have never gotten that one, so.
Jordan, congratulations. That's big.
Yeah, I'll take it. I needed that. I needed a win.
Sonny, you're like the Jets now, because my boys lost to the Browns, and it was
disheartening. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Jordan, what movie are we watching?
We're going to watch that bad movie with John Cusack and Adrian Brody. I think it's called Dragon Blade, but I might look up other Jackie Chan movies and choose something else this week. So, but that, I'm... Well, okay, so I might choose that one, okay. And I might change.
You,
it
hey, it's all you.
That's a good movie, but Dragon Blade. Okay. I saw it while I was
it
drunk
is ja-
in
yeah, it
New
is
Orleans,
Dragon Blade. You're correct.
Like about a year ago when I lost my job and I was on a few week hiatus from this podcast, and I wanted to watch it for this podcast ever since, and never gotten a chance to because I've lost every single week. So
Jordan, I'm going to say I'm very happy.
Yeah.
That you won. And now champion. For the first time in forever, we got Sonny versus me.
Oh.
It's
yeah, I guess,
the real
I guess
people that
true.
Are good at this.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to see
what the people really want to see.
It's
grudge match.
Probably not fun for anyone, especially not for me. It's disheartening.
It's oh man. Okay, this is Chansplaining. Thank you for listening. Sorry this movie's bad. You can watch it on Amazon Prime if you want to see what we're talking about. It is unfortunately free.
Yes.
Bye everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Music. Music. Fan. You. Fan. You.